This episode is brought to you by America's Rehab Campus. Get on the road to recovery with the best rehab in beautiful Arizona. Dial 1-833-272-7342. That's 1-833-ARC-REHAB.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now tuned in to the Archer.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to an episode of the R-Cast. My name is Buddha. I'm solo dolo today, but I got my brothers in the studio with us. This episode is going to be really fun for a lot of reasons, man. I was a BHT when we first started here at ARC, and I got to work with these gentlemen closely. I know what it takes to be a part of the team and to all the stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis. So I'm blessed to have my brothers in the studio with me today. Ladies and gentlemen, give a huge round of applause to my brother Chris and Hess Suits.
What's up?
Yeah. For all the listeners, we had Jesus already in here tell his testimony with was me and Vance. I forget what episode number it was, but go back and check it out.
It was the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, that's right. Thanksgiving episode. Yeah. Heck yeah, man. So what's up?
What's going on?
Chilling, bro.
Yeah?
Glad to be here, man.
I am very glad to be here, too. We've been talking about this for a minute. And got to give a shout out to my brother Chris for coming. He brought us some breakfast burritos.
Yeah, for real. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
I was going to eat that on the air, but I didn't feel like the listeners wanted to hear me snapping. It's going to be gross. So, yeah, we'd
be all confused the whole time. Like, what the heck is happening?
What's going on behind the scenes over here?
But nah, man, I mean, it's a blessing to have you guys in here. I'm actually kind of sad because we were supposed to have our brother Jacob in here with us, too. But I know he's handling business. Do you have two vapes, bro?
Yeah. One's going out. I have to be ready for the next one.
I feel you.
Always be prepared, man. Gotta always be prepared.
Oh, yeah.
This is how you can tell I'm new here. I haven't started vaping yet, but
what better time than now, bro?
In due time, bro.
Here, I got two, man. You can have one.
So, I mean, how's everything been going for you guys lately, man? How's the business been here?
Busy. Unfortunately busy. And you hate to see everyone going through the struggles that they're going through, and life is just getting harder and harder out there, but you know, at least they got a safe haven to come to and get clean and focus on their future.
So, I mean, I want to, you know, of course we're in here. We got to have fun. You know, it's always good to have you guys in here. And, you know, I know we're probably going to get off topic a lot or whatever. I'm down for it completely. But I kind of wanted to know a little bit before we get really started in the episode, was just kind of get a better understanding of what made you guys kind of come into this field. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, Jesus, if you could touch base on that real quick. Like, what made you want to work here? And then, like, how did you become a lead?
Well, so for me, honestly, it was my past addictions and then knowing that I can help and actually make a difference and speak from experience to help people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so being able to do that, and then in reality, so a lot of people joke around that I hold Chris's pocket because Chris, literally, Chris is like taking me under his wing, like what, maybe 2-3 months after I started. He just kind of grabbed me and showed me how to be a lead here and what to do. So
did he grab you or did he handle you with care?
Oh yeah.
Well, see, first Jacob is the one that handled me with care, but
hell yeah.
Yeah. But then Chris just guided me where I needed to go. <All right. laughs> But yeah, so I don't know, man, I feel like I've kind of already got off topic what we were talking about.
It's all right, dude. Yeah,
I started thinking about being
you're a podcaster, bro. You can jump right back on it.
I was just being handled with care in my brain, bro. But so then Chris like kind of took me under his wing, kind of showed me how everything, it's pretty much ran from a lead standpoint. And then, slowly transitioned into that role. So, yeah.
Heck yeah.
But I also feel like, and this is probably me log-on on Chris and shit, but like the way that he trains people and the people that he brings on his team, legitimately, like anybody could be in that position with the other techs that are brought on as well, because they're all speaking from experience and they're all mostly hard workers and shit like that too. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's a gift. I'm honestly blessed to be put in that, be in the position I'm in.
Well, I could honestly say too, man, it's been a blessing to kind of, you know, get to know you guys personally and have friends. You know, I went to Chris's wedding. Congratulations. Just got married.
Yeah, I wish I got an invite. No, just
hey, bro, we needed someone here, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't have you hold my pocket at the wedding, man. That'd be too much.
You know, but it's good to be able to be in the trenches, you know, with each other and that camaraderie, man. That was always something on the floor that I really loved, was like anytime there was bullshit on the floor, something was happening, you know, we're dealing with a stressful situation, I knew that I didn't have to go into it alone. Like I knew I could always depend on you. I could depend on you and we would be there for each other. You know what I mean? And there's like a special bond that you get with that, you know, even coming into the studio over here, working on the podcast, like, I love the fact that my brothers will come in every now and then and we'll talk about stuff, or you know what I'm saying? Like those moments to me, at least, I treasure that with all my heart, because it's like I'm so used to being out, and you know, I'm more often than not, I'm in here now. So it's like I love being able to touch base and you know, so
still kind of keep an ear on the streets, as they say.
Heck yeah, man. Absolutely. And what's up with you, Chris? You know, for all the listeners that you know, they haven't had a chance to hear anything about you, what made you get into this field, bro? How did you start doing this?
So, what was it, 2012, I wanted to make a change from just being your typical, you know, customer service, working at Home Depot, things like that, you know.
That's when you became a stripper, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of time.
Ah, some money in that, bro.
Customer service.
Customer service. VIP rooms, real...
The boom boom room.
The boom boom room. But no, I wanted to make a change. Wanted to actually impact people, and went and worked for the Vail School District. I worked in a special needs program for 5-6 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Loved it with all my heart. Loved those kids to death. But obviously public schooling doesn't pay well, you know. So you got to make a change. You got to be able to buy some food to put on the table. So that's when I went over to, it's a level one like psych facility. And I was basically a human punching bag for 3.5 years. So,
bro, that's crazy.
Yeah. So
I've always heard stories about places like that. Like I worked in psych, but it was like Gerald psych mixed with psych, you know, but I know with, they have all kinds of different levels. Was it pretty nuts over there?
Yeah. I worked on the most acute, so the highest of psychotic. Nice. And
the ones that could hit the hardest.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had one dude going up and down the hallways, freaking doing spinning kicks and stuff like that. Jeez. Telling him to stop, and he's saying he's fighting off the demons. And I was like, okay, well, in your life, you are, yeah.
Dang. So,
but move from there. I noticed that, you know, I had to put people in holds more than I wanted to. It was just more about just administering meds and things like that, where I wasn't really making the impact that I wanted to when I wanted to change.
Yeah.
So that's when I started researching and I heard about ARC. And I came over here in 2020. Been working here, and you get to be a lot more helpful to people. You get to see the progress that they're making, because, you know, some of them are staying here from either 3 days to, 130 or something like that. So you get to see that progress. And, you know, when I started here, we had someone that went through the program, and now that person's working here and thriving and doing a great job. And, like, that's what I came here for. And that's why I work in a place like this. I mean, we don't do it for the money here. We do it to save those lives. And like I tell my crew, I mean, if you save that one life, that one life can go on to save another one, and it just keeps growing and growing, and that's what I want to happen.
That's cool, man. I think that's cool. I mean, for me, that was like a huge thing too, was for one, we're outside. Like, as a faithful person, bro, like, I gotta be in the sunlight. Like, that's God gave us that, you know what I mean? In this facility, like at a hospital under the UV lights all the time and stuff. Yeah. It's like,
it's dope, except when it's like fucking 110.
Or when it's snowing.
Yeah. It's snowing.
And you got those mesh Skechers on and your socks are all wet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
The cold, I mean, when that cold air, that breeze comes, man.
I'd rather deal with that, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'd rather deal with that than 110, bro, or like 105.
Not me, bro. I'm a little biatch with that. I have like wool socks at home. I feel like an old man, bro.
It's all 65 degrees outside, right?
I do, for real. It's horrible. They make fun of me all the time because of that. But yeah, man, no, that's cool, dude. That's cool. And then, like, you know, I like the fact of, like, with ARC here, when I first started, they gave me the opportunity to kind of grow. Like, you know, they were kind of one of the guests that we had on yesterday was talking about how, you know, when the facility first started, it was like, okay, what are your talents? What are your gifts? Like, what can you offer that kind of, you know, and give you that trust to allow you to kind of do what you can do and see what you're made of and stuff. And it's cool because it's like, it makes you feel like you're, what's the word I'm looking for? It's
like you're actually being utilized for your
potential. Yeah, absolutely. And it allows you to feel confident in your abilities and stuff too. And like, I remember being on the floor and it's kind of blurry, bro. Like I forget a lot, but I think, Who trained you when you first came on? Was that me or was it Kevin?
I believe it was. So I shadowed Jacob.
Okay.
For my first 3 days here, so I learned most of it from him. But I think like you, I think Kev, like did a lot of it too. Did a lot of training with me.
Heck yeah!
So I mean, thanks to you guys, I got in the position that I'm at.
Dude, I love it, man. And I think one of the biggest things for me you talk about the human punching bag. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was working at it rhymes with, I remember I was working there, right? And and I would like go and clock in. I would go and clock in, dude. And like, I remember like the floor was, it was like on the second floor and it was kind of hidden from the rest, but it was like, they almost had it there on purpose because nobody went to that floor. It's like only one elevator went there. The other elevators went to the rest of the
haunted shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no, for reals, bro. Like the doors, I swear, the door to the bathroom over there, bro, like they had like three demonic faces on it. I even have a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. That's the oldest part of that. I remember the clock in was like so big old armored doors, right? And everything's locked and blocked. And, you know, it's like the techs don't really have a lot of control. Like it's mostly like the nurses over there would have gotten like the clients pissed off or whatever. And then like, I'm a big dude. So it's like, here, you handle this. Like, it's like, hey, I didn't do that. You know what I mean? But I remember so many times going and like clocking in outside, like, and I would be ready to swipe my card and I would hear like, get me the F out of here. And I was like, oh God, this is going to suck. I just clock in and I have to go in there. And it made me laugh because like on Facebook this morning, I saw some girl on Facebook. She was like, you ever pull up to the parking lot of your work and then call off? I remember feeling that anxiety, dude, because it was like court ordered. Like people had to be there. Mm-hmm. There was no choice. Yep. So it's like these people want to be somewhere else. They want to be. And it's like you have to kind of make them feel comfortable. And everything was like pink and bro. Like I have a lot of trauma from that. So when we came here, it was like open. I didn't feel like I was locked up in like a prison type of thing. And if somebody didn't want to be here, like if they really didn't want to be here for themselves and for their recovery, it was like, all right, well, you know, we can walk you out. We try and talk to them and you know, you're not going to be able to like offer anything to your family. You're going back to a really horrible environment when you leave. Like, I mean, really think about it. For the most part, people are like, all right, cool, I'll stay. But man, yeah, I remember that. Like it's
The ones that are dead set and just like, well, we're here when you're ready.
Yeah, dude, for reals. So I remember that, man. That was like traumatic. So hearing you say that with the human punching bag, do you even like? Do you remember a lot, or do you like block a lot of stuff out? Because I blocked a lot of it out,
man. Oh no, I remember it all.
Really,
from getting Spartan kicked, freaking chick pissing on the floor purposely, throwing a diaper at me. Like I remember everything.
Really,
not every code, obviously, but because I probably. Maybe 300-400 holds that I did in 3 years. God. And it is physically, I just can't do it anymore. I'm fucking old now. like at 36 years old, I can't be getting physical like that no more.
You got to handle them with care now.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, like I remember, I'm not the one to block it out. I mean, It was part of the past and move forward.
Heck yeah, man. Well, that's cool, bro. You know, and it's a blessing to have you guys here, like I said, and just to kind of let people know what it is. So like a BHT, it's an acronym for behavioral health technician. Our main job here is to be like a life coach, man. We're here. We motivate people. We try and give them a different way of looking at things, you know, if they want to leave, because when people are getting off of their substances, they start thinking differently. People that are in detox are more, it's more common for them to have suicidal and homicidal ideations and to, you know, because you're getting a substance out of your body.
They're starting to feel again for the first time.
They're starting to feel again for
the
first time.
All that shit that they've been suppressing for God knows how many years, man.
Yeah, for real.
Boom, it's back.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most important parts about it is being able to be, you know, a light, a guiding light and help. I mean, that's what we're here to do, right? Is be stewards to each other. So it's like, it's cool to be able to see that change, and it's cool to be able to see, you know, the facility grow and all this and that. So, you know, there's, look at, we got somebody in it. Come on in here. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacob is here.
5 minutes at a time. Woo! 5 minutes at a time, Jacob. That's all we need.
Huh?
All right, get closer.
How's it going, guys?
Yo, you know what we should do? We should put a travel mic on you.
Oh, I should have brought my...
Me up as I'm moving.
Yeah.
I should have brought my AirPods and
a body cam. Yeah, our brother Jacob is here, man. He's had to handle his business.
We brought you
today.
Up right now, bro. We were talking about how you wanted to, you know, you had to hold down the fort for us while we got to sit here and lollygag.
He's crying right now, just so you guys listeners know.
Big alligator
change. All right, brother. It's good to see you, man.
Love you, brother. See you in like 15 minutes for another 5 minutes.
That's crazy, man. So you're a podcaster as well, my friend. What else? A
retired podcaster, dude.
You're not a retired podcaster, are you?
Retired, bro.
You retired?
Yeah.
Why?
Just retirement.
I'm getting old. just retirement.
All right.
It's because I'm starting to work here a lot, bro. I don't have time. And on my days off, legitimately, I just want to chill with my kids and fucking, like, I don't want to have to be somewhere or have to go do something or be like, I got an interview here. You know, like the life you're living right now. But you get paid for it. That's the difference. You know what I mean? I don't. And so, like, it's dope for me to be able to sit here and podcast and be like, yeah, I'm podcasting, and not have to
just shoot the shit.
Kind of thing. And not have to, like, actually game plan it. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole game planning a podcast, I don't think people realize what actually goes into it. Because, yeah, you'll sit there and you can bullshit and talk, but the person actually running it, like you already have a set of questions that you're trying to fit in. That makes it sound naturally, that makes it, you know what I mean? Makes it vibe.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I don't have any questions, honestly. I just was like, you know,
I thought you were more prepared, bro.
No,
you were
absolutely
like,
not. I was just like, I'm having my brothers in here. I know we're going to come up with some good questions. I didn't really know where the direction was going to go. I just was like excited to have fun, man.
What's your most memorable moment on the floor?
Honestly, my favorite moments here on the floor was when I was doing the workouts, bro.
Yeah,
the workouts were dope because it was
everyone loved those, man.
Dude, I was so to give you guys a little bit of context, I was like 315 pounds, and one thing I've always known is like in order for you to really try and change a generational curse in your life, you have to get rid of the bad habits that are keeping you at wherever level that you can't grow from and establishing newer habits, right? I wanted to work out. I wanted to do things, but it was always like I would flip that switch for a little bit and do good for a week, and then payday comes and I'm over there eating like 6 Sonoran hot dogs, bro, and Mexican soda, and it's like, yeah, I don't need to work out tomorrow either. I got to let my body heal from the hot dogs. And then like 1 week turns to like 2, and 2 turns to like a year, and then it's like, you know, so coming here was super dope. When we first started doing them, it was like, you know, at first it was like P90X videos. So we would just sit there and do them together. I was just kind of like a third party Shanti. I was just in there like, hey, we're going to do squats today. And then after a while, it just kind of built up the strength. Like that was my favorite, was being able to, like, once I got into my groove, having my playlist set up, coming in and being like, all right, bro, we're going to put in this work today. And they'd all get their like yoga mats and stuff. Yeah. It was just beast mode. It felt like training a bunch of like Spartans, bro. I love that.
To have them up on top of the patio up here.
Yeah.
And they'd all be like literally lined up and you're just in the front with the deck of cards. All right, 6 squats, let's go.
Yeah, dude I love that, man. It was just
fire to see.
First, like a little boot camp going.
Dude I loved it, bro, and it got me in shape. I went from like 315 to I think I'm like 250, something like that.
So that shit started here?
Started here.
Damn, that's dope.
And ARC is dope with the fact that they've allowed me to kind of like grow into and see what I'm made of, you know what I'm saying? So that was like a huge blessing, bro. That was a huge blessing.
What's dope, too, is the fact that they kind of gave you the opportunity, like, what do you have an idea of? What do you want to do? And then, like, just...
Yeah.
And then just getting you all the shit that you needed and then setting you up with guests and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But I think on the floor, like as a tech, I'm trying to think. But some of my favorite moments, honestly, was being able to break bread with you guys after the shift. We'd have super crazy shifts, you know, and it's crazy because like you would have, let's say you had 17 admits, 17 discharges or whatever, and we're running around like chickens with our heads cut
chaos.
Off. Yeah, it's chaos, but it's like, it was almost like, for me at least, it was like a beautiful chaos because at the end of the day, it was like everything got done.
Yeah.
17 people were out of the streets. 17 people were going back to their families again or whatever, and not even thinking about the statistics of what happens when they do leave, but it was just like having that feeling of completion, like, you know, we did what we were supposed to do today. Like, let's go next door and have some food or something like that. And you know,
celebrate an accomplishment.
And
with people who actually were in the trenches and they comprehend and understand how your day was.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, I mean, man. That was some of my favorites. And then, you know, just I also like the fact of like, you know, the fact that you get to see people come back to life, dog. It's like zombies waking up.
And that's what I like every time I get the opportunity, because, I mean, Jesus, you're going to know this soon. When you're a lead, man, you're busy. You're running around. But whenever I get the opportunity to sit down and talk with a client, I always tell them, like, if you come through the detox, like, hold on to that picture.
Literally.
Hold on to that picture.
Literally.
Because every time that you have that moment of almost slipping up or anything like that, look at where you used to be and look at what you are now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I mean, it's such a huge transformation that these people go through in such a small amount of time. You know, they're eating again.
Yeah.
They're gaining weight. They're not like skin and bones. Like they're looking good. Like the cuts have healed and stuff. And
I think if they had like a visual representation of themselves, of a, like a before and after, like if it was that, you take their picture when they first get here, but then when you leave, you take another picture.
And like side by side.
And they can actually see that difference. I think it will impact them a lot more because, you don't really see it in the moment. Mm-hmm. And this is like, think about like you starting here and then you're working out and then you don't realize that you're starting to drop weight or change within 30 days. And even if somebody comes up to you and they're like, no, I could see it. And you're just like, yeah, okay, whatever. But if you were to put a picture side by side from you and then 30 days and you actually visually seen it, it'd have a different mentality with it. And I feel like that with sobriety, it's like that. You'd have a different mentality of like, fuck, damn, I can do it. And I'd look that good just in 30 days. Cause literally 30 days does a lot for the human, like just the way you look.
For real.
And feel.
Imagine what you could do with years.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, dude, I got 13 years. I used to fucking weigh. My lightest, I was like 155.
Damn. For reals?
My lightest.
How much are you now?
Now I'm 219.
For reals?
Yeah.
Dang. I would have thought you were like 190 or something. Like you look
219, man.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's that, like, being able to actually see it and realize it and look like, damn, this is healthy.
Heck yeah.
This is a healthy 219 type shit. Like,
that's what's up. So, all right. So, one of the coolest things, too, is like, you know, you kind of look at, the techs are a good representation, if you think about it this way, of what your life could be like through sobriety, in the sense of like every day, normal people, we deal with shit. We deal with rough situations. But at the end of the day, it's those things like you know what I'm saying? Like you said, your family, your kids that allow you to stay on track. So after a rough week of being able to shine your light on a lot of people, like Matt has said it a lot, there's like that ladle and bucket. We all have that bucket and we're constantly filling up, right? Yep. Other people, we have to fill up that bucket because a lot of people who come in through those doors, they're at their lowest as far as self-esteem goes. They're at their lowest in like their health. You know, a lot of horrible things have happened in their life and you guys are constantly pouring in. Mm-hmm. That's what we do here. But what do you do to help refill that bucket when you're off? Like, what are some of the things you guys have to do for yourselves? And this, the reason why I'm asking this is because anybody who's listening that's sober, you know, they can have different ideas of things that they can do.
So me, you know, like you said, I recently got married. Me and my wife do a lot of things.
Hell yeah.
We go.
That's my favorite button.
We go and catch a lot of movies and stuff like that. Go over to my friends, go swim in the pool, you know, just kind of, like you said, soak up the sun. You know,
absolutely.
Me personally, what I do to escape, like, you know, because as BHTs, we do take on a lot of people's, like, a lot of their issues and their concerns and things like that. We take that on. We're kind of like mini therapists in a sense.
Yeah.
So I was gonna say, it's when you were talking about being a punching bag, we just transitioned into
we're just
almost emotional punching.
Yeah,
bags
that, I mean, that's what we got going on here, and like. So me personally, what I do, I play a lot of video games. I mean, for God's sakes, I got the PlayStation tattoo on
my
on
dude.
Me. So
my dude,
that's
Xbox is better.
Nah, Steam is, but it's all right. Let's keep going.
But that's what I do. That's my escape. You know, some people read a book and like I put in a game and play for hours. Like,
heck yeah!
And I recently got into streaming it too, and I just got a PC. So yeah, shoot a follow.
Yeah. What's your follow handle? No, I'm
just kidding. Fupa Sweat. Two O's, not a U. Fupa Sweat.
It's Fupa Sweat.
Yeah.
Oh, F O O
F O O P A
Sweat.
Yeah.
All right, you guys go follow him on Twitch. That's what's up.
That's dope. Yeah, for me, honestly, bro, I like to just chill. I like to chill with my kids and like.
I noticed the hat too.
Yeah, and like just chill wrestling, bro. That's all we do.
Heck yeah.
Like, just vibe out because I think it's that healthy balance because we give so much here that, I mean, I still give to my kids, but it's a different type. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a different type of love and just being able to give myself that love to replenish my fucking.
Your bowl, menudo pot and ladle, whatever you put it in.
Albondiga. But yeah, it's just I don't know. Just chilling.
No, but our techs are amazing here.
Yeah, the techs.
Yeah,
a lot of them been in the shoes of what these clients are dealing with right now, and like so they can relate and they can share their success, and hopefully that'll kind of trickle down to them. But yeah, they're amazing at what they do. They take on a lot, but they also give back double that. Like they bust their ass and they grind and they do a lot for this community.
Heck yeah.
And a lot of them too aren't even like they're just not part of the recovery community here at ARC. Like they're out in the community like going to NA groups. Some of them like are actual managers of halfway houses and like so like everybody here as tech wise like when I say we're legitimately here to help you guys, that's what we're here to do. And I think a lot of people kind of get lost because like you were talking about how's it been like the population and stuff. We get a lot of people that are fresh out of either county or coming here on probation, so they have that jail mentality, you know what I mean? And it's up to us, in a sense, to almost, like, respect it, but get them out of that mentality. Because that mentality, in a sense, is what gets you in the same position, same cycle. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to be able to get them out of that, just something small from saying my roommate instead of my cellie or...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, God,
I need don't give me a clinical intervention. Because usually they'd be like, go ahead and give me a ticket. Like, you know what I mean? Just little things like that.
Yeah.
And reminding them that it's just literally the little shit that is going to cause the big waves of change.
That little word ticket. I mean, that just brings them back to, you know, some of them, the only thing they know.
That's crazy.
You know, so it's showing them that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
And having techs, too, that have been in their shoes that can help them and actually teach them and show them, yo, man, you know, that's cool, but that's not like, it's not cool around here. We don't do that around here. Like when guys around here, they'd be like, oh, I'm not snitching. I'm like, this isn't a place where that's happening. Like it's called being a responsible human being.
Absolutely.
And like holding each other accountable. It's not snitching. Like we're not snitching on anybody. Like it's different.
So you snitch? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not snitching. I'm holding people accountable, bro. I just
snitches
said it.
Stitches there, bro.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, I mean, come on, bro. Like, it's but, you know, you have people sneak in. You know, it just happens. I think it's every facility, right? People try and sneak in and do stuff. And it's like, okay, you have a whole population of vulnerable adults that are barely, like...
holding on.
Like, barely holding on. And, like, the last thing they need is some dude coming in here trying to give them drugs. Like, of course.
There's always going to be one.
Yeah.
There always will be. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. But you can't let that one dictate the future of the many, you know? And so you just got to those people will wean themselves out. And then when they want to take the opportunity to get better, you know, we're here with open arms.
Yeah, I guess we're firm believers of one sour apple doesn't sour the bunch. We'll just take that apple out and not chop down the whole tree.
Hey, that's
like,
real.
Sorry. You know what I mean? We'll just be like,
that's real.
This isn't working out. And it happens, you know what I mean? And then you get the ones that like will follow with. And it's hard when you like build that relationship or that rapport with that person and you want them to succeed. But ultimately, like, it's us having to come to terms and realize like we're not responsible for their choices. We're not responsible for their sobriety.
That's real.
Seeing repeating people does take its toll sometimes, but then also it's that reality check of like
thinking about it kind of now, like me, big sports person, played baseball, played football,
foosball. Shout out to Sapo. Got to give a huge shout out to Sapo.
Yeah.
Sapo.
You're still a legend, bro.
Yes, you are. But like baseball, prime example, like you can't just go up to the plate and hit dingers. You can't. You have to put in the work. It's either hitting the cage, tee work, things like that. So the repetition has to get there. So your muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's what we have to do with these clients for their sobriety is, you know, you got to keep coming in. You got to find it. You got to keep trying. Like you got to keep. It doesn't just, you don't just snap of the finger and you're sober.
That's real.
So you gotta put in the work. You gotta do your T work. You gotta hit the cages. Like you have to do it. And that's a classroom learning the antecedents of why you used and antecedent. You know what that means, right?
What is it?
Antecedents.
Antecedent. No, those are big words. And because I don't understand them, I'm gonna take them as disrespect.
So like the
I'm gonna clap all y'all.
He's all both y'all getting clapped.
The root of their use, was it, you know, depression, mental health, parents weren't there, like a bunch of different things. And that's what our clinical department does a great job at is, you know, identifying why they use. That's so right. And then moving forward from there.
Fuck yeah.
Use your muscles.
Just come in. How do you actually?
What up?
Going to the gym and shit, bro.
What's up?
I said you've been going to the gym and shit. Use those muscles.
I know. I didn't know. I was like,
"Yo, yo." So, ladies and gentlemen, we have some of the texts coming through. They're gonna come give a quick little shout out, real quick, man.
Hey, what up? This is Emilio. How y'all doing?
Good, good. How's your day going so far, bro? We're doing a episode on BHTs and leadership and shit. So,
okay.
So I was like, as many people as we can get in here, give a little shout out.
Yeah,
you know what
definitely,
I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yeah, everything going good?
Everything's good, man. I love it. I love it here.
That's what's up.
It's a nice role to play in like these people's lives, and you know, it obviously helps me a lot in my recovery. So.
That's cool, bro.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, this is what's up. Where you? I thought you guys were supposed to be in the gym.
Nah, bro.
Come on.
This is the gym. This is the
squats
gym.
Over thoughts, bro.
That's what's up. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Thanks, Buddha.
Hey, no, yeah, man, for sure. Thank you for stopping by, bro.
Don't yell at me next time, bro. All right.
Yeah.
Don't yell at me next time.
What did he say?
He was like, when I called him, he picked up. He's like, I don't even want to fucking hear it because I seen him, but I didn't say hi to him. I just like walked by. He's like, I don't even want to fucking hear. I was like, bro, come to Buddha's room. He's like, oh, okay, I'll be there right now.
Heck yeah, man. I know the techs are always busy on the floor, bro, but I would love to get a shout out from them.
For real. Well, so hopefully some stop by. I mean, there's another one.
What up, what up?
Hello.
All right, we got another BHT here. You know, I wanted to give a shout out. Emilio came a little bit right now.
The other end of that, you got to plug into the...
No, it's fine.
Oh,
he's good. It's really good.
They're all plugged in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, can hear bring you. The mic like a little bit closer, bro.
How's that?
Oh, damn. Yeah,
see, I told you guys, bro.
So we're doing quick shout outs. Emilio, I didn't even think about it, bro, but this is for you and this is for Migs. Emilio and Migs are both in here. I had to give them a shout out real quick. So what we're doing is we are doing an episode on BHT leadership, right? But regardless of what role that you play now, we all have experiences of BHT. So I just wanted to... Just to hear your voice, man, and to, you know, maybe give some positive affirmations or like your experience as being the tech. Like, what are some of the amazing moments? I hope that you don't have like a bunch of shit going on right now. You can just chill.
No, I have nothing going on.
Dude, Miguel does what he wants. I don't know if you realize it.
I just show my face and then go home.
That's it.
That's what I do. In my experience, it's seeing them go from detox, you know, absolutely nothing, to then running units, you know, running the show, taking responsibility.
That's what's up.
That's what really motivates me to come to work.
I thought it was hilarious, man, because Migs actually trained me in detox when I first came.
Interesting.
And he was very...
Lies. It's all lies.
Very professional, if I could say that.
Anything but.
And as time has passed on, man, I got to know the real Migs. And yeah, he's still very professional. He's just a lot funnier. Yeah.
It's funny. The first time I was ever lead, honestly, he showed up. And it was like his first day back or something. And I'm all talking to him like he's brand new here and everything. And then everybody walked in. They're like, what are you doing here? After a while, I sat there. I was like, you fucking work here before? He's like, I've been here before. And I'm like,
just let you keep going.
I just told him, I was like, go to fucking detox. That's where I wanted to be anyway. And like, fuck, dude. Like, shit. All right, cool.
In my head, I was thinking, that's wrong. He's doing that wrong. That's all wrong.
I believe it.
You don't even know it.
Dude, so this trips me out, like with you in particular, because you would always stay in detox. For someone like myself, like that was a drain on my soul. Like I think we all have our units that we're really like we strive in, like, mm-hmm. and we have our units that are hard. And for me, detox was hard because people were just going through it. They were the DTs, man. They're over there kicking it. You know, sometimes we have to put the mattresses on the floor because they're just having a bad time. Like, what made you stick to detox? Like, why did you like that unit so much?
Well, I think past experience with hospice, with the dying, I think that that's helped out a lot. And I didn't realize this until one of our old nurses who is no longer with us, but she put it this way, is like, you're taking care of these people who a part of them is dying, you know, and they're going through that process, the death, the release, the pain, even the body aches that come along with that.
He said release.
Well,
you just made him uncomfortable.
Am I blushing? Awesome. Am I blushing? Because I was trying to have a serious moment, but never serious with me.
But no, go ahead. Continue. Sorry, bro.
She was saying how it's like you're helping them transition into that part of existence. So they don't know anything but that suffering. Mm-hmm. And so they come into detox and that part of them is dying off. And then you actually see them get better. Unlike hospice, you know, you kind of plateau and then you're on your way out. But there in detox, you see that transition. And I think all my experiences led up to that, which allowed me to be comfortable in detox.
Heck yeah, man.
I never thought about it like that. Like the death of their like addiction and that version of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It takes along the same process as if you lost a loved one, because in their brain, their loved one was that drug. Yeah. Was that alcohol. That's true. You know?
It's as real as any person.
Right. And it's hard to take that and, you know, just separate yourself completely. It's a process. And so being in hospice for a number of years or taking care of the elderly really set me up for this position.
Heck yeah. And what do you do now?
Now I'm case manager / phlebotomist. I help out with maintenance sometimes.
Ukulele legend?
Ukulele well, I don't know about legend.
You're right.
I play music. I play music for the elderly too on the weekends. So I go out in the community and entertain the elderly.
That's cool, bro. Well, thank you, man. I just, you know, I want to see if we can get a bunch of texts in here. I think that'd be cool just to mix it up like that with the episodes.
Yeah, should.
We'll see how many are actually ballsy enough to knock on the door.
We'll see. We'll see.
I don't want to knock on the door.
We're going to have some people come through, man. So
anything, you know, I'm ballsy.
Yeah, I know. We know. We've discussed.
We as a group.
We as a group have discussed.
Heck yeah, man. Heck
you put
yeah.
a vote whether to bring me in here or not.
You're the first person I called you.
Yeah, for real.
So we got to get Migs in here. That's funny. Heck yeah, man. No, we're going to have Migs in here pretty soon. He's going to bring his ukulele. I was able to figure out how to do like the individual channels.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be able to get him to put some music on. I'm going to probably put it on either before or after one of the episodes. So people can
That's
check
dope.
It.
What I'd like to do, though, is record the entire time because the bullshit that comes out of us.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous, man.
That's what we've been doing this whole time.
It's nice. Oh, we had burritos, so there's plenty of shit that's going to be coming out of us.
Here. Get that mic real close.
Oh, my God. That smile's scary. Heck yeah, man. Well, thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, give another shout out to my brother Migs real quick for stopping by.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome to chill as long as you'd like, bro. We're just kicking it, man.
Thank you. Tip your waitress.
Tip your waitress. What advice would you give somebody who's going through it right now? You know, the shame, the guilt, the way that they're feeling. Maybe they're afraid to come into this facility.
Okay, so I tell them there's no shame in getting better. You go to the hospital to get better. We know when addicts go to the hospital, they're treated a certain way. So here, we try to make it as the most comfortable compared to other facilities and even hospitals out there. You know, so like, there's no shame. There's no, come get better. That's the whole point.
Heck yeah.
And then what would you tell a brand new tech just starting here?
Like, good luck. Good luck.
All right.
No, I
have safe words.
You know, I would say,
I think we're done for the day.
Pineapples.
You know what? I'm going to bring it back to the Alzheimer's, okay? Because, and dementia, because my patients, they suffer from a disease, something that they can't control. Mm-hmm. So every 5 minutes, where's my room? You know, where's my family? Where am I? Same way with these patients, okay? And that's what I would tell the new tech is don't take anything personal. They're going to ask you repeatedly over and over again.
Can I get a smoke break?
Smoke break. Before I'm even introduced, before I even start my day, smoke break. I'm like, my name's Miguel. How are you?
Yeah.
You doing okay here in detox? You know, like bring it back to reality, but they don't know.
Yeah.
So you can't take it personal.
Yeah.
You start taking things personal. You start taking them home. Start taking them home. It just started affecting your life. Affects your life before you know it, you're in detox because you've relapsed or because, you know, something came up and that's how it all starts. So if you just tell yourself in your mind, hey, I'm going to come to work, I'm going to have a good day, and it's just going to fall right off my shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, you get to go home at the end of the day. These guys don't, you know.
Yeah. As long as you can give it, you can say at the end of the day that you gave it, you did the best you could for these people. When you leave, when you clock out, or if you're a salary, you just walk out, you know that you did your best.
That's right.
You can be happy.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So
for sure, man.
And you're making a difference. You're making a change. Because like I said, these guys go to hospitals, they go to other facilities, and they're treated a certain way. You know? So like, if you can do your best and just treat everybody kindly.
We're all human beings on the same earth, man. If we could take two paths, be an asshole or be nice. If everyone was nice to each other, fuck, man, this place would be so much better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Most definitely.
I agree.
That's beautiful to get that wisdom, man. And you know, it's cool to know that so many loving and caring people here that, you know, are going to be here to help whenever you come in through those doors, man. I mean, you see, we're having fun. That's what it's all about. You know what I mean? Really? It's a family thing. Everybody in this room knows that if they needed something, I got them, and vice versa. You know what I mean? And that's the same type of life you want to build in sobriety, you know, is having those people that are going to support you. Like you said earlier about the, you know, you don't just throw away the whole tree. You cut off the bad apples and you keep the tree. You got to cut off sometimes you got to cut off a whole arm, bro. You got to do what you got to do, whatever's holding you back, the people that are holding you back, you know what I'm saying? And create a team of people that are going to support you and love you and community, man. That's a big thing. It's a big part of it.
That's real life right there, man.
What up? What up?
See, I told you.
Hey, so Jake
5 minutes
is here.
At a time.
I want to get Jacob in here real quick. Just real quick, even if it's only 5 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to Jake. Jacob is in the studio with us today right now. What up, bro?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Hey, so I know you don't have a lot of time, but I appreciate you stopping by. And you know what I'm saying? I just kind of wanted to get some positivity, man. Like, how's everything going for you right now?
It's going great. We're busy right now, but you know, when we're busy, that means that a lot of people are getting help. So.
Heck yeah. That's what's up. What made you want to get into this field, bro?
So I actually was working in inpatient behavioral health, which was definitely interesting. Layman terms, it's working in psych.
Okay.
And that was definitely an experience. Had a buddy who came over and a really good friend from growing up that worked here and was like, hey, you should check it out. Came over and I've been here for coming up on 4 years in November.
Dang, that's what's up. Congrats, man.
Yeah.
4 years. And what do you think is one of the things that this environment provides to allow people to be sober? Like, what is it that could make somebody flip that switch to want to get rid of a substance?
I think something that makes us unique is we have amazing staff members. We have people here who truly care. We have people who have walked that, who have actually been through this program specifically.
Heck yeah.
And I think with that comes that comfortability factor where they can be themselves and they can actually talk with people who have been through it. and they, you know, they feel comfortable. When people feel comfortable, they're able to be their best self.
Heck yeah, man.
You've got a beautiful radio voice, by the way.
Yeah, you definitely got that.
Oh, here comes Kevin.
Nice.
Here comes Kevin.
I've been told I have a radio face.
I'm going to get out of
Hey, Mix, thank you for stopping by, Mix. I appreciate it.
What's up,
we appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, not only is Jacob here, but we have my brother Kevin here one more time.
And he brought the chips.
Heck yeah. Hey, if you got a couple minutes, bro, just take a quick seat. Throw those headphones on. All right, so Kevin, man, thank you for stopping by. I know it's busy. Thank you, Migs. Have a beautiful day, brother. How have you been, bro? How's everything going with you?
Yeah, man. Right, yeah, man. Everything's great.
Everything's great?
Yeah, everything is a beautiful thing. It's work is work, and life is wonderful.
Life is wonderful. That's what's up. You got some positive affirmations for anybody out there that's going through some struggles right now?
He's like, yo, why are you putting me on the fucking spot?
I just walked in, but hey, when the chips are down, pick them up and eat them, right?
Yeah.
I like that one.
So I got a question for you, Kevin. What advice would you give a brand new tech just coming out on the floor or someone who's even just coming into this field for the first time?
Yeah, man, this place, all you guys in this room know that it takes like, it's like never ending growing here, right? Like,
right.
Like mentally, spiritually, whatever it is to get to a place where we think we know what we're doing. And then we find out the door shuts on our face and we found out we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
So you got to have perseverance, right? You got to be patient. Listen to the clientele. Listen to your coworkers. Most of us have been around the block a few times and just suck in that knowledge and that wisdom that most of us are able to express to each other and just absorb it and grow and know that it's taken me a long time, 57 years, to know that my thinking is not always the right way of thinking, and that we can learn and grow from each other's experiences and wisdoms and knowledges. And that's even a new guy coming in can teach me something new, right?
Yeah.
A new person, I should say, coming in, teach me something. So just keep your ears open.
Be a sponge.
And learn, be a sponge, right? And know that this world of addiction and the recovery it's a tough one, man.
Heck yeah.
It's tough.
Dude, it's been a blessing. We were talking about this and I want to make sure I let you know, but you three in particular, man, I mean, we've established friendships that, you know, they're so valuable to me. You know what I'm saying? And being able to be in the trenches with you guys, go through the stuff that we go through, but then at the end of the day, being able to come together with love and break bread and spend those moments, it's awesome, man. Like, just thank you, bro, for everything that you do, and thank you for being a good friend and for, you know, inviting me to your wedding, all of that stuff, dog.
Yeah, man. Buddha played the music at our wedding, and he was there with his beautiful wife. It was a great day for us to have Buddha and his family there, and we have Buddha was my lead, right? He was my boss,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
So, and then down through the time, he just kind of passed down the torch a little bit. And then, and going back to your question, Jesus, I'm going to just bring up a personal thing here. I mean, I was, you know, stepped down, but you know what? I was grateful that they allowed me to stay on board, right? This is where I want to be, right here. This is where I want to be, right here. I feel like my strengths are good for this place. So I'm just grateful that I am still employed here at the Arizona Rehab Campus. And yeah, man, it's a downer, but you know, it's an opportunity for growth, and it's a humbling experience. It's what's the humility? Keep your humility. Right?
Yeah.
Keeps you your humility there, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's for me, it's been an up and not a down.
Yeah.
So
that's fucking phenomenal aspect and like just view on everything. Cause even that, like with life, shit happens and stuff happens, and it's about how you take it in stride, or you could either just take it and use it as the catalyst to why you shit went left, or use it as the catalyst of, no, like, this is what humbles or whatever, you know what I mean?
It's like a client up in detox. I can't get a smoke. I missed a smoke break. I want to quit. I'm going to leave. Well, I could have done the same thing, but it's a good place.
Heck yeah.
So I can't take it all personally. And that's another thing I think for us as techs and BHC leads is don't take it personal. Yep. It's hard sometimes as men, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. When we speak as a man, you know.
Getting yelled at.
It's hard, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard.
Sometimes, you know, you get one of those clients that's just angry and just doesn't get it. And you're just, God.
Yeah.
Pop them. Exactly. Like, dude, stop.
Yeah.
But you got to realize their whole life, this is the behaviors that they have learned to act this way to get what they want. And that's our job. And our duty is to coach and mentor them to be the positive person when they come out of here, to be a good citizen, to help the next person, to problem solve and figure out things. Like, they aren't doing it because, hey, you're Chris and I don't like you specifically. They're right. doing it because that's all they know.
Heck yeah. Man,
although with me, it was about me. They all remember me, but I don't remember them. So.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, bro, you have grown tremendously, bro. Like since you started, it was funny. We had Kevin in here. He was talking a little bit. You take the call, bro. We're good. We doing this. It's real life.
Oh no, I was just wondering what that noise was.
That's my
was like the Undertaker's coming in. Like what the hell?
It's actually the Top Gun bell. Boom.
Oh, okay. You know, but no, I mean, dude, bro, you've grown tremendously, and you know, and it's so funny when we're listening. When you came through and we're talking about your testimony and the stuff you've been through, you said that, you know, some of the old facilities you were at, you had like funny nicknames. I always think of sweatsuit.
Sweatsuit's the best.
Yeah. But dude, I mean,
you're sweating in here right now. Why is it so hot in here?
Because we can't have the air conditioning on.
Oh yeah,
pick it up on the microphones.
Yeah, we're all dying of heat.
When we did Matt's episode, Matt's all, leave it on. I don't give a fuck. Just leave it on. I'm not trying to sweat through in here. But nah, man, I just, you know, it means a lot to me to be able to have you in here. It means a lot to me to have you as a friend, dude. And just thank you, bro, for everything. You're a badass. You continue to be, and I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you and your wife, and you know, you're an amazing friend. So
yeah, you're an amazing friend as well, and I consider all you guys friends. We don't know each other real well.
Yeah.
We don't work handed side by side, but in this world, man, you got to have each other's
especially
back.
Now.
You got to promote and support each other.
Yeah,
right. I'm happy for you for your step up. I'm happy for you for your next endeavor. Right.
Right.
And you know, obviously, you've moved up through the ranks, and now you got this awesome marketing position and the podcast. So it's there's a lot of room for growth, and it should all be applauded, man.
Heck yeah. Well, so. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to my brother Kevin for coming through. All the BHTs, man. We're going to try and get as many as we can in here to come speak that love. I think that would be awesome. All right. Hey, we had another, ladies and gentlemen, we just had another person pass by.
And there's
she's stopping by for just a few minutes. Say what up to Katie.
Got a little Keezy on the track.
Yeah. What up,
Katie B? You caught me at a moment when the energy is high.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure. That. We're having a conversation about BHTs right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being that you are BHT, the transition from residential to IOP, we have a couple questions. One would be, what would be your best advice to give someone who is just starting in the behavioral health world as a tech? And what would be your most memorable experience on the floor as a tech?
Wow. Those are some pretty involved questions I wasn't ready for right now. So for a tech that's like starting out or somebody that's beginning in behavioral health, just like I feel right now, sometimes you kind of have to like, you know, put your boots on and you need to be ready for what's going to come your way, because working in behavioral health with in our setting with people who are in really early recovery, we just never really know like what's going to happen with them that day. So with that, like, I think it's really important to have our own self-care in order and like have our own stuff that we can rely on, because like they say, like, this can't be my recovery. So like, I can't rely on any of the clients to be able to like fulfill any of my needs. Mm. And I need to make sure like I'm taking care of those things on my own.
Yeah.
Because burnout is real and it can be draining to work in behavioral health. And boundaries are so important. So like being a tech and then an RSS in the groups. And then even now, like in my job as a coordinator, like boundaries are just so important. And even right now, you know, I had some people approaching me and it was a little chaotic and I really just had to like, just put some things on the back burner and like prioritize, right?
Literally.
Like, what can I do right now? And like, how am I going to manage this so that like, I'm okay?
Yeah.
Literally.
Because it can be
you can't help. You can't help anyone else if you're not doing good yourself, right?
Totally, yeah. You can't pour from an empty glass, as they say.
That's what's up. Man,
she's just staying on cue with everything we've been talking about.
Yeah, that's real. That's
crazy. Have you been listening to us?
Gotta watch out around
here. She's like, I'm in the office next door, dude. You guys are loud.
Heck yeah.
That's great. Yeah, no, it's a cool crew in here right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. What about like experiences? What's been one of the most memorable experiences for you? And it doesn't have to be like crazy, just like memorable.
Like besides being in here with
us. Right, besides being like
besides this moment.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, but I mean like something different. Yeah.
So really, I mean, I guess it's just like an overall experience at ARC, like in my position, something that I'm really grateful for is working all the way through, right? So like I've seen clients in detox. I know that process. I know what residential's like. And then I also, you know, work IOP. So like for me, that's like my most memorable thing. It's like something that, you know, I'm proud of in working here. But as far as being on the floor, I mean, there's always memorable things.
Like, everything happens like, all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say. It's just every day is so different. And now, so like reflecting back is just like at first as a tech, like really green. It's like, well, I just don't understand, right? Like why we just can't go get them their items or yeah. why it's a big deal or why it's that. But just like having the experience that I have now, it just like makes so much more sense, you know, and we have to give credit to our leads and, you know, it's Chris right here as being like that barrier and that buffer. Go,
bro. I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, or at least have to really hold it down because.
So now you understand why I said, no, we're not going to go get that property. We got to set those boundaries. Yes. Boundaries are key.
I get it. Yeah. And a lot of them, they come into IOP now and they're like, well, I'm just so, I can have my this back now. And they're just so grateful. And, you know, it creates that experience for them too, to be able to actually be grateful for like the things that they didn't have and the stuff that we take for granted.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're still enjoying it. And like Katie's always got a smile on her face on property.
Always.
So.
Always.
No matter how stressed you are, you always got a smile. You always brighten up the room. So
definitely greatly appreciated.
Appreciate that, guys. I knew something was going on in here when you're like, come here. And I was like, I can.
She said, leave me alone.
And then walked away. She set that boundary with you.
Yeah. Straight up.
Heck yeah.
Four people call my name. So
it's all love. And the last question would be positive affirmation.
Yes.
What would be a positive affirmation for today for anybody listening?
Like for the day?
Yeah.
For anybody.
Anything. Anything you want to throw out?
Man, I mean, my like aspirations and my inspiration like changes daily. So I'll give two things. So yesterday I was really grateful for like the power of choice.
Okay.
So like I have choice today. Like I can change my direction if I want. I can stay. I can, you know, do what I can. I have the power of choice. And then like for today, I'm just grateful for the sunshine and.
Yes.
You know, awesome. And just being healthy, right? It's a little hot, but cold water.
Yep, absolutely.
So many things.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate it. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, give it up to Katie. Extra horns. Yeah.
Oh, Buddha, you might not know about this, but Katie's got like
a lot of
different personalities.
I would personas. Say like, personas. She's got a lot of...
And she's got a name for every persona.
Yes. I did not know that.
Yeah. There's a couple.
So like,
really?
Yeah, she's a rapper. Lil Keezy. She spits bars.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, the gangster like shows up and it's like, whoa.
That's funny. You got to spit some bars for us, bro?
Don't put me on the spot.
Drop that 16 real quick.
Yeah, you got a...
I almost tried and I was like, that's on record, so I can't.
She's like, the fire department was already here. We can't have them coming back again.
They were listening to her mixtape. That's what happened.
Yeah. And the place down.
And then she's got the goofy, forgetful Katie, which is just K and T.
Okay.
KT.
Forget the letters in between.
Yeah.
KT.
And then we got...
You got regular Katie Bear.
Okay. Yeah. Katie Bear. That's
compassionate.
The compassionate, loving one. And then what else was there?
There was.
Do you have a feisty one?
Katie B?
No, it was.
There's
KB.
One.
I can't. See.
Scary you see Berry. What happened?
Scary Berry. Yeah.
That's Scary Berry.
Scary Berry. That's the one you. I have not seen that one.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get Katie to Scary Berry.
Yep.
Oh, dang.
I've heard I can be scary.
Very flat affect, nothing, just...
Yeah, there's a reason. She's like Incredible Hulk. And she's like, you won't like me when I'm angry.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you have to. It's a defense. You gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta have something to, like, you know, put everything back in line. She's like, I might have gone a little Scary Berry on those people right now where I was like, hang on a second out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was more like Mama Berry. You're just kind of like, children, stop. I need 5 minutes to myself.
I was sharing earlier with the client that I was like walking up front. Like that was my task. And then there was like six other tasks that like tried to happen in between. And
tried to happen. That's funny.
I had to shut it down.
There you go.
Boundaries.
Yeah. But my son has been like, I think I've been ignoring him a little bit. So then... Mama.
And then you come here and they're, Katie.
Yeah. Yep, the nerve. It's on the end.
That's awesome. Burnout is real.
But I did just want to share a little quick redemption because my podcast, I was like, I was lonely. I was by myself. It was just me and Buddha and the Kayla on the phone. So.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
A little drop in. So
yeah, no, thank you very much for stopping by. I know you're busy, but it really means a lot. So thank you.
Anytime.
Yeah. Shout out to all the BHTs.
We'll let you
go
back out there before you start getting yelled at.
All right. I'll see you later. Thank you for stopping by, Miss Katie.
Bye, guys.
There's going to be a lot of applause up in here, man.
Yeah.
The audience is going wild. Yeah. So thank you very much.
They're still going crazy.
Still. Calm down.
Yeah, relax, guys. Thank you. We'll see you.
Bye.
Thank you again.
Mayor, get back in your cell. Don't make me get the holes.
Imagine you just hear her screaming that as she walks out. They validated the scary Barry. I'm going with it all day.
What up, dude? Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. We had another BHT stop by Luis. Or Louie. I don't know what you want me to call you, dog. Yeah, you good?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry, that was the wrong sound effect, but I'm going to give you some air horn.
Why'd you give him the cop horn, bro?
There you go. What's up, dog?
Not much, man. Just came back from Equine.
What's up, dude?
You got a couple minutes with us?
My Steelers boy here.
I always got time for you.
That's what's up, dude.
There you go.
Wait, you said the same thing to me, man.
I got time for everybody here, man. Not enough time to go around for everybody.
So I was just telling Buddha how, like, we hold you near and dear to our hearts because we've seen you since the beginning of the process and everything.
Yeah.
And now you're fucking full-fledged RSS. IOP Tech. You skipped residential, bro. You didn't even want to come hang out with us.
Hey,
bro.
I wanted to, but they drafted me first. I was a first round draft pick.
There you go.
We're still up for some trades, right? I can get you.
We got some trades, but just to be clear, to go back, you know, all jokes aside, yeah, you guys were a big part of my recovery. You guys are a big part of why I'm here. All three of you, honestly.
Thank you.
If it wasn't for all your guys' support, long conversations, I probably wouldn't be in the position I'm in. So I do want to thank you guys.
Of course.
So, definitely,
of
course, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
This is the reason why we do it.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, and now it's nice to, you know, come back and do it for somebody else, right? Give them a little bit of hope, show them that it's possible. And you just got to take it one day at a time. So it's good. It's a good feeling. Maybe one day I'll be on the res team. Who knows?
Well, you know, I'm about to be lead, so whenever you want to get some trades in, bro. Let me know. I'll start talking to Ray.
Hey, well, like I said, first round draft pick, man. Come prepared.
I got you. You're worth like 2-3 techs on our side.
I'll take it. We'll do it.
I'm joking, guys. I'm just joking.
Yeah, all jokes aside, I'm always welcome to, you know, help whatever I can.
Yeah.
Residential, wherever, man. I love this place. So,
then it goes, we've been talking about like being a tech and everything. What would be your advice to give someone coming in to be tech and even someone trying to get like help in general?
I mean, honestly, just remain teachable, practice patience. It could definitely be a really testing job. You guys know it like I do. Yeah. But just practice patience, you know, meet the clients where they're at and remember that, you know, we were all there at one point too, in one form or another. You know, we were at our low moments in life and it took somebody to help get us out of there. So just like when we come here, come with an open mind. We're not here to tell anybody what to do. We're here to help people, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So I think keeping that mindset is what's really, really important.
That's what's up, dude.
Yeah, man.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. What about memorable? Like, what's been your best experience on the floor?
Best experience is, you know, when you get a client coming up to you and just finally, like, having that breakthrough moment. And they're like, Luis, what you said actually happened, you know, like just by doing the next right thing, things are starting to work out. And like, that's so fulfilling, right? Or like a lot of our clients, some of them have DCS cases, you know, getting that news like, hey, I got to see my kid, or like I'm getting that reunification with my children. Like that just means the world to me. Yeah. Or even just like, hey, I'm clean today, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I remember when I was here, every day was like, I was excited to tell somebody like, hey, I'm another day clean, you know? So just seeing that like look on their face and that life come back into them, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful feeling. And like, that's why, you know, we keep coming. You know, sometimes it's stressful, work is tough sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's those moments that like make it all worth it, you know. Yeah.
Did you come when you first came here? Did you go through the detox or did you start residential here?
I did not. I went to residential. I actually I came in right off of a really bad OD.
Okay.
So I detoxed at a different facility after leaving the hospital. Wow. And then I came into residential.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I just remember, like, I don't know, bro. There's so, it's crazy. So, and you know this, because, like, there's certain clients that when they come in, you kind of just, like, almost already know, like, all right, they have that, they have that potential in them to fucking do something with their lives and shit. Mm-hmm. And, like, even just when it comes down to, like, sharing what they learned in class and things like that, honestly, Louie would be the type of dude that just come up to us and, like, bro, I just learned this. We were talking about this in class, and it's crazy because with this experience that I'm just having, it all just fucking fell through, and just, like, having that open mind and understanding that everything might not be for you, but there's at least little information in every single thing that is going to put you in the position you need to be. So,
I mean, I appreciate you seeing that, you know, when I came here, I definitely was ready to change everything. You know, the one thing I had to change was everything. I'd been in and out of treatment centers.
That's real.
And, it wasn't until here where I was like, all right, I literally was just dead 5 days ago, you know, and I got this chance. So I gave it my all. So I appreciate you guys seeing that.
Yeah,
and
man.
Now it's nice, you know, sitting on this side of it, seeing that happen to clients, you know, them like finally being like, yo, I'm learning all this. Like, this is real stuff. You know, it's actually working in my life. It's a beautiful thing.
But one of the most memorable moments that I have that involved you was you were in a residential program. And I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you were establishing a better faith as well. Like your belief in God was getting stronger and, you know, and, you know, it's a whole different story. You know, some of the people that were involved in that situation too were very faithful, but I think the enemy attacks those who are closest to God too at the same time, you know what I mean? But I remember you in particular, bro, you came through and we even prayed for people. You know what I'm saying? Like literally getting there like in this prayer circle, bro, and just people wanted prayer and you were there. And like, to me, those are moments that mean a lot, because it's like, you know, when I'm at my lowest or when I'm thinking, you know, I always go back to those thoughts, like where two or more gather, God is there. You know what I'm saying? So that was a huge thing
for me. I'm glad you brought that up. Before I came in here, I was really mad at God. I was really, really upset. And finally, you know, through finding myself, it took a couple weeks. I got to give my life to Christ here, you know, and Buddha was a big part of that. You know, we got to pray that in, and then I got to, you know, spread the word also to my brothers here. And you know, if it stuck for them, great. And if it didn't, you know, at least I got to, you know, try to be that vessel for them. But yeah, this is a place where I really found God, you know. I hit my knees and the Lord showed up, so it was really good.
That's cool.
Beautiful thing.
Yo, man. He needs his episode, bro.
No, we've been talking about it. We got to get him scheduled, bro. Most definitely.
Yeah. Sure.
And it hasn't been for any other reason other than I've just been editing. Yeah. We caught up to like the beginning of August with episodes right now. So once we get, I want to get you in here for sure, bro.
Yeah, man. I'd love to come in, share my story with you guys. I got nothing but love for this place, man.
Heck yeah.
You know, this place definitely saved my life, and I wouldn't be the man I am if I didn't come here. And without all you guys, to be honest, you know, I'm not just saying that because you guys are in front of me. But each and every one of you, I have a special moment with, you know, and I genuinely cherish that always. So thank you guys for
definitely, man. Of course, seriously.
Well, thank you for stopping by, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up to Louie.
Let's go Steelers.
Yeah.
Watch out for Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah.
See, and it's like he's like almost perfect to me, except he's a Steelers fan.
Later, brother. God bless, man.
I'll see you, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have all kinds of people stopping in today. We even got a little bit of maintenance coming by. Give it up to our brother, Kyle. The headphones are right there, bro. Let's throw that on for a couple minutes.
What's up, Kyle?
What's up? He's looking at those headphones.
I'm a maintenance guy and I don't know how to use headphones.
Hey, you know what, though? I call bullshit because you're an amazing karaoke artist, bro. You know how to use microphones and headphones.
I just got everybody fooled.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm above ground.
You're above ground? So we have a BHT episode right now. We're talking about behavioral health techs, but we started talking about faith. You walked by, and you've always been a brother in faith, someone that I can confide in. Would you ever be down to come through and talk about your life a little bit, do an episode with you? I think that'd be cool for people to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
Yeah? You'd be down?
Yep.
All right, man. We got to do a maintenance episode. Facilities, get them in here.
Yeah, that would be a really good episode.
Heck yeah.
facilities and maintenance.
Constantly patch the holes in the wall. Yeah, like, fucking AC units.
Heck yeah.
It's more interesting how the holes got into the wall.
You got some interesting stories you want to share with us? Heck yeah, man. You guys can catch Kyle at the karaoke spots. Where you sing at, Kyle?
Sing all over. I sing at the Shooter's Saloon. I sing at Mandalay Bay. I sing at...
Dang, Mandalay Bay, Vegas?
No. Oh. Sierra Vista.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn, you got a residency? That's crazy.
sing at Big Nose Kate's in Tombstone, Doc Holliday's in Tombstone.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of all over.
All right, bro. We're going to get you in here. Hopefully, we can even get your voice. Get some singing going in here, bro.
Seriously, though.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up.
You at least got to get a howl in, bro.
Yeah. Need some water, though.
You need some water? Go ahead, bro. That's all you.
Let's go dry.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to witness, the strength, the strength of ARC. Wait, hold on. I got to give you a better introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness the strength of the R-Cast. Yeah.
I love it, bro.
It's exclusive. I appreciate it. Thank you, Kyle.
Hey,
man, give it up, Kyle. One more time. There's tons of applause, tons of air horns up in here. It's a good day today, man. We're just having fun.
That is.
Thank you, Kyle. We appreciate you, brother. You know, like, it's been so cool to have, like, people coming in and out or whatever. I wish and hope that we could have had more, but, you know, business has to get taken care of. But for everyone who stopped by, thank you guys, man. And Chris, Jesus, thank you guys for coming and kicking it. Real quick, same questions for you, man. I mean, you've been asking questions, Jesus, and I got the same questions for you. What advice would you give, Chris, to somebody who's coming in on the floor first day? And what is your most memorable moment here at ARC?
Advice I would give is be a team player. We're all, I don't want us to be like a High School Musical, but we're all in this together. We're all in this together. But no, for real, like, we're all in the same battle, not just staff and clients, but staff with clients. We're in this battle together to make a better place for everyone. Yeah. So be there for your fellow tech, your fellow human being. And like Kevin said, like, absorb, because why not? You're here. Why not absorb the knowledge and to help someone?
Absolutely.
You know? And don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Don't take it home. Work is work and home is home. Right. As soon as you bring that home, it's going to affect you and your loved ones. Seriously. So leave it here. You will come back here. You will be able to complete whatever you were doing. But once you leave, leave.
All right.
And then memorable moments. So this one will always stick with me. I had a male guy in residential. They were doing a group. It was a video. And old therapist was showing a movie of pretty much like a documentary. And one of the dudes was slamming heroin. That client started getting the itch, started picking at the veins and whatever. And then you could see that he was distraught. He exited the group, walked out, didn't ask. I happened to, by the grace of God, happened to be walking like towards him at the same time that he was walking. And I looked at him, I could see that he was distraught. And I go, hey, what's up, brother? What's going on? He was reluctant in talking and didn't want to say anything. He's like, I just want to go. I'm like, nah, let's have a chat, man. Come with me. So we sat down by the phone room, and we had like a 30-minute talk, and he's telling me, he's like, man, I saw that video. I saw the needles. I started visioning it, putting it in my arm, feeling that high again. I know I don't want to go out there and do that. I don't want to, but it's that fucking, the devil is just grabbing me right now. And I told him, and he's like, I don't want to do it because I got kids out there. And he's like, I want to be better for my kids. And I was talking to him. I was telling him, like, then do it here and now. The devil wants you.
Yeah.
Devil wants you. You need to put up that fight and know he can't win. And then we talked, like I said, for 30 minutes, and he ended up staying. I don't know where he is now, but he ended up staying. He completed the program, went to IOP, completed the program. I pray that he's still doing well. He's sober. He's got his kids, things like that. Me not seeing him here in a long time shows me, hopefully, that he's out there doing the right thing. He was a good human being. But that moment was that's one that I will never forget, ever forget, because I'm hoping that I saved his life. So that's yeah. I don't know, that's one that sticks with me.
That's cool, man. And I mean, even if you know, Lord forbid something, you know, let's say he did relapse or whatever, you're probably always going to be in his head mm-hmm. as that person who helped him during that time. You know what I mean? Because those types of memories will stick with them too. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, we all need to have a loving and compassionate person there, especially at our lowest moments, man. And you were able to do that. That's pretty special.
Yeah.
So.
For real.
Heck yeah, man. Thank you. And Jesus, what about you, brother?
My best advice would be, like, same thing everybody's been saying is don't take anything personal. And I would say also, like, pick and choose your battles, because a lot of the times, like, yeah, we're trying to help them. And once you start to take it personal, then you start nitpicking, and then you're going to choose to die on a hill that isn't worth dying on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing that, and then my most memorable, I would have to say, truthfully, so when I first started here, we just had him on. Emilio was the first, he was part of the first group.
Okay.
That I was a tech for and stuff. So watching him go through everything and then go through IOP and then eventually coming back to work here for me is like, it's like I did something.
And that's cool.
You know what I mean? Like it just makes it fucking worth it and shit. And then just continue doing what the fuck I'm doing. So
heck yeah, man. Well, thank you guys for coming by, bro.
Of course.
Thank you, Buddha. Oh, my bad. I heard it wrong.
No, seriously.
I said, like, thank you guys for coming by, bro.
And boom. And cut.
You said we needed to get out of here.
I was like, fuck, bro.
Dude, for real. Thank you guys for stopping by. This has been an awesome episode, dude. I mean, just to be able to feel, I mean, one of the things coming in here and doing this, I love it, but at the same time, I feel like a part of me loses that camaraderie with my brothers. You know what I mean? You guys are out there. I'm doing something different. So it was just good for my heart. I needed this today. This morning, I woke up. I was just questioning stuff, feeling very doubtful about a lot of things. Even when God does amazing things in my life, bro, even when, you know, I have my family and we're out of debt and all of these amazing things that are happening that I've been praying for, it's very easy to doubt. It's very easy to get stuck in that thought process. So I was praying on my way up here, and you know, God knows what he does, bro. We came in together. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the love, for the laughter. This one is always going to be one super close to my heart, man, for real.
It's going to be fun editing it, too.
It's going to be awesome editing.
I left you a little nuggets in there when you were out and about.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Give me something to look forward to. You guys won't hear it out there, but that's all that matters. Then,
I want the full copy.
Just send us the unedited version before you edited it. I want the whole 2 hours and fucking 20 minutes of
the whole 2 hours. You know, but yeah, no, most definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, too, for everybody listening, man, thank you so much. This has been an amazing, amazing episode, man. I had my brothers in here, Jesus and Chris. Thank you guys for stopping by. Ladies and gentlemen, give them a huge round of applause one more time. Give them some more of the air horns and the... All right. For everybody who's out there listening, man, thank you. Make sure you share this with a friend. You know what I'm saying? If you guys want to come work here, whatever, bro, come by, dog. This is a family. We got to do this here. You know what I'm saying? I love you guys very much. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your week. Much love. God bless. And we will definitely see you on the next one. Peace. What's going on, everybody? This is Buddha from the RCast, and I just wanted to thank you for checking out this week's episode. It means a lot, and if you could share it with a friend or a loved one, somebody you need in recovery, or maybe somebody who just needs that little bit of extra positivity in their life, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you would like to join us here on the RCast, either in the studio live or online, hit us up. The links are down in the show notes of this episode, and on there, you can find direct links to our main website here at America's Rehab Campus and all of our social media platforms. Follow us! We keep the posts positive and motivational, focused on recovery, health, and wellness. As you know, in this modern day and age, we need as much love as possible, y'all. And as always, if you or somebody you know is in need of substance abuse treatment, please don't hesitate to give us a call. We're open 24 hours a day, and our direct phone number is 1-833-272-7342. Once again, that phone number is 1-833-272-7342. I hope you all have a beautiful rest of your day. Much love, and God bless. Peace.